How many here came to the Lord because of Christian television? If you'll raise your hand. See, four, five, maybe six. How many here came because of a evangelistic crusade or campaign? Maybe seven. How many here came to the Lord through the witness of a friend or relative? Does that tell you something? You know, in our estimation, over 95% of all people come to the Lord, come to the Lord through the witness of a friend or relative. Now, so what is the most powerful evangelistic force in the world? An encouraged church. A church that is walking in what we're called to walk in. Now, I really appreciate the evangelistic crusades. I appreciate Christian television and all that, but it's not doing the main work. Even Vance Havner, who was one of the great evangelists of his time, he said, you know, the crusade is kind of like the big sale down at the store. He said the sale gets all of the press, gets all of the attention, but it is not the real business of that store. But the real business is the day-by-day faithful merchandising and doing. And the same is true of the church. We also need to consider, you know, where do we put 95% of our resources that are devoted to evangelism? What is maybe reaping 5% of the fruit? Just saying. You know. So, but my point is, our fellowship, our interchange, how's the body built up? That which every joint supplies. A joint's not a part. It's where two parts come together. Divine connections right here can do more for building up the body and do more for evangelism than all the crusades we're putting on. So, you know, I think there's a reason why the Feast of the Ingathering, or the feast that celebrated the harvest, was also tabernacles where they all got together for fellowship. Just hung out. So do you get that? Now, we've had a lot of missions that were born here. I believe there's an anointing on this facility for that. That when it was built by Jim Baker, and he would bring in people from every different denomination, any different move, whoever he thought had a word for the whole body of Christ, he didn't care about their denominational affiliation. He gave them a platform. And it started something that I think is vital. It is not just vital, it is crucial for us to come into our purpose in these times. You know, pretty soon Baptists were listening to Presbyterians. Catholics were listening to Pentecostals. And there was an interchange that began that is so crucial. I believe it was one of the most important things that was released by this ministry that is so crucial for where we're headed and what is unfolding right now. Now, I was up almost all night last night. I was in the biggest battle, spiritual battle I've had in a long time, which only encourages me. That tells me this is going to be an awesome conference. This is going to be a great time. I've been alerted. This is going to be an incredible time. It's going to be an incredible time. Now, I had a mighty wrestling last night. And you know, you can cast out demons, but you have to wrestle with principalities. And that's no fun at all. There are some people who like it. I don't like it. But it's necessary. But wrestling is the closest form of combat. It's face to face. Now, if you're one of those who think you can just pray and bind a principality, I've had people tell me that so many times. And then that principality show up in my room at night, and I said, well, he got loose. What happened? You know, I do believe there's a lot we need to understand about spiritual warfare. You don't bind principalities like you do demons. You don't cast out principalities like you do demons. But you wrestle with them. There is a wrestling. But I had a wrestling last night, which tells me we are really going to have some fun here. We are really going to have a breakthrough. And at the same time, I had, after the wrestling, an incredible download. I mean, I was getting scripture after scripture. I was getting prophetic revelation. And I'm going to try to share it with you. This is not the message I had prepared. Not at all. And I haven't had much time to even process it. And if I did, my mind is still in a battle somewhat. So you may need the gift of interpretation for some of this. Or I may have to come out later and straighten out a lot of it. But we are in a time of change. Now, that was in my message. I've been seeing that for a long time. But listen, it's on a whole new level than I was seeing. Now, we see in part and we know in part. We prophesy in part. So I've only got part. You may have part. Maybe more parts to come in a few days or a few weeks or over this period. Maybe some through our other speakers, through other. It could come through you. It could come through anybody. But I believe we're going to leave here with a pretty clear picture of some things for our times and for where we're going from here. But I was told months ago, we were just starting to even think about this gathering, this would be our last conference of this type. But it would also be the first of a new type. But he said, we would not even call these conferences anymore. He said, it's not an adequate word to describe what our gatherings are about to be like. You come to conferences are for conferring, for talking, for discussing. Well, the time for talk is over. Okay, the time, we're getting engaged now. And we've got to get engaged. And there's a new seriousness coming upon all of our gatherings, including our church gatherings. I believe in the very, I believe in this next year, there are going to be churches so radically changed, you will not even recognize them from what they are right now as to what they're about to become. And the key word I got about that was this holy seriousness. And everything is about to get more serious. But change, the winds of change have been building up and they're about to be released. Now, pardon? Oh, okay. I had one praise God over there. Now, you know, we always get excited and we do, we love change. But it's also difficult. You understand that. And a lot of change comes in a form we weren't anticipating. So just remain open. Don't get too many preconceived ideas of what's coming. But I do have some ideas. I believe there are revelation about the change that is coming. But those who are not prepared for the change usually get devastated by the change. There's a way that we get prepared. Those who are prepared always prosper in times of change. Now, I'm not talking about money, okay? We've got to have a bigger vision than money. Money is our least valuable resource. It is one, it has some value, but I tell you, we're after something much more than that. But the prepared do prosper in all conditions. Okay? Now, the body of Christ, the church, really is in desperate need of change. The very model of the church that most of it is stuck in is no longer relevant to the times. It really does not fit. But even more so than that, it's not doing the job of preparing believers for the times.